Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. I went for a walk yesterday morning and I was smiling as I was walking at 5:30 a.m. Sun was rising over Lake Michigan and the crisp air felt cleansing with each breath as I walked through the valley leading me to our little downtown here in Port Washington. I was happy because I knew I couldn't catch coronavirus outside, and most importantly because I was feeling really fulfilled and looking forward to my day. This past week, I was able to work with a school board, serve our CISA 6 team, do a drug recognition demonstration, meet with legislators and superintendents, coach a couple of people. I was looking forward to spending yesterday with nearly 300 teachers and leaders who were voluntarily going to an ed camp hosted by my buddy Mark's school district in Elmbrook and hosted by Brett and his awesome staff. But the smile? The smile was being maintained on my face because I had spent a bunch of time with some students who represent Generation Z. I've done a few episodes about kids in school, and I wanted to dedicate this episode to advocating for what may well be the greatest generation on the planet. Now, I realize that's a pretty grand claim, but I have to tell you, they are pretty remarkable. And I realize that many people are questioning what I'm saying right now, but I will argue this with data for you in a moment. And let's see if I can get you thinking about the most current generation and the one that is currently just 10 to 23 years of age. No one has yet locked in the dates for the generational differences between Generation Z and the newest generation, which is called Generation Alpha. Those are very little people right now. Because Generation Alpha is born entirely in the newest millennium. But let's look at the generations that are around in mass. The baby boomers, my parents, they were born between 1946 and 1964, and they were named for the boom in population after World War II. Generation X, which is me, we were born between 1965 and 1980. We're also called the latchkey generation because we were the first generation to have a majority of both of our parents working. Generation Y, or the millennials, born between 1981 and 1986, so-called because they came of age in the new millennium. And Generation Z, born between 1997 and 2012. They are currently second graders through college seniors and working 23-year-olds. Each generation that is on the planet has its impact on daily life, and most rooms I'm in usually don't contain any Generation Z at all. Lots of older people. That is until last week when I held my third Student Leadership Academy and met with 70 high school students and spent the day with them, training them on leadership practices and developing their skills to be leaders. These young men and women left me with a real sense of lift, truly inspiring me to feel great for them and their future. Here's why. I have them reflect on two questions, and they discuss them in groups of five or six. I ask them to identify the behaviors of people they admire, and then I ask them to identify the people that they admire. Now, the key word there is admire. I selected that word very intentionally. I didn't want to know what the cool behaviors were or who was beast in their lives. I didn't want to know who was popular or what was a cool way to act. I wanted to hear about admiration, true and real behaviors that they aspire to, that they learn from, that they admired. But before I share with you how this awesome group answered that question or others and how students have participated in the past have responded, I want to share with you the knowledge that I've acquired about Generation Z. You see, Generation Z globally has known a lot of conflict. My children are both Gen Z, born in 2002 and 2005. My children have only known global conflict. They were born after September 11th. They have been in a constant state of war, the war on terrorism. They have experienced school shootings in their news and in their lives. They've experienced the impact of the Great Recession as elementary school children. They've seen their friends and our family impacted by economic uncertainty. And they have experienced what multiple generations before them normally would have only experienced over the course of an entire life. Generation Z are truly social natives, meaning that they are the first generation to be fully plugged in and shaped by social media. Some have nicknamed them the Blue Generation because of the blue hue on their faces from their phones and devices. They are beyond technology literate, and technology is an extension of their existence. Yet they are also much smarter about what they post compared to the millennials. They recognize that they are leaving a digital footprint, and they care about what it looks like. This generation is also off the charts smart. While we keep hearing that test scores are going down, the indicators of educational attainment show otherwise. In 2018, 81% of this generation graduated from some sort of post-secondary education before they turned 25, as compared to the same group of people in 2005, which was only 73%. Traditionally, 33% of all students that graduate from high school in the Western world graduate again from college or university. But not this generation. This generation is expected to have nearly 49% of them graduate from a college or university. They are going to be the most knowledgeable generation of all time. Think of this for a second. If you were to pop an average 18-year-old into a time machine and bring them back 500 years, that child, that young man or woman, they would have more knowledge about math and science than the entire world. This generation? This generation also can navigate the knowledge on the internet better than any other. The current 12 to 24-year-olds indicate that the very first thing they do in the morning is they go to their device to check for new information. And listen to this, 79.4% of Generation Z between the ages of 16 to 24 across the world, they have a smartphone. That's the whole world's population, people. 79%. And just so you understand what that means, Generation Z makes up 1.1 billion people. That means 927 million people in that generation have a cell phone. And to put that into perspective, the population of the whole United States is 327 million. So there are three times as many Gen Zers with smartphones than there are citizens in the United States. And because this really got my inner social studies nerd cooking, there are more Gen Zers with smartphones than there were people on the entire planet 200 years ago. It's crazy. So it is no wonder that this generation has so many unique qualities. And one of them is their advocacy for the future. Most generations are concerned about the here and now. But this generation, they call for action. They already have been recognized as advocates internationally. And they believe that Wi-Fi is a basic human right. They view it the same way my parents viewed FM radio. Should be available to everyone. When this generation could swipe a screen, there was already Google. When they got to school, Facebook existed. They have only known things like iPhones and galaxies. They've never had the pleasure of choosing a cool chime on their Palm Pilot like I did. They also choose their news. We all grew up with the choice of just a few talking heads on TV, three major networks, and we knew people like Rathers and Jennings and Brokaw. We had limited choices that were neutral. They guide themselves to a broad spectrum of information. They're seeking perspectives and get their news while they're being entertained. 82% of this generation already describes themselves as independent. They don't need anyone to teach them in person how to do something. When they have a problem, they go to YouTube and they address it. My son, when he was a fourth grader, he saved the day for me once. I was going to show him how to replace a taillight on our Honda, and I was all like in dad mode, like, come on, son, I'll teach you how to be self-sufficient and handy. I loosened the nuts from the taillight housing, and I couldn't get it off. I was struggling, and I was afraid I was going to break it, and all of a sudden Charlie says, hey, Dad, you just need to thread a thin rope behind it and pull it off. I looked at him and was like, why did you say thread a thin rope? And he said, well, that's what I just YouTubed, and this is how the guy said to do it. And he said, well, here, just watch it yourself, Dad. What the hey, Ray? Here's my kid facing a problem with me, and he has the answer to a situation he's never been in before. And I used to actually work at a car dealership on cars. So Gen Z is handy without having to be handy. They don't collect tools. They rent or lease tools. When they need a service, they rent or lease the service. When they need a ride, why own a car? Uber or take public transportation? They're optimistic. And when they're surveyed, they indicate that they understand they can access whatever they want as long as they work hard. They're not hopeless in their outlook about the future, and yet they feel like they are the least listened to generation as a result of them having a majority of their social interactions with a device. Here's one of the most positive consequences of the Great Recession. This generation has grown up in a cautious economy, and as a result, they're frugal compared to other debt-ridden generations, and they're paranoid in a positive way. They believe that private corporations should have to publicly disclose the data they are collecting on consumers. They get it. They get it that it's kind of weird that you can be thinking about buying a new pair of shoes and suddenly it shows up on your social media platform, and they worry about that. While me and my friends, we still walk around thinking that's some sort of a magic trick. How did they know I needed shoes? Let's talk about them socially. Here are more reasons to admire them. They drink less alcohol in their teens, much less, and they don't even smoke cigarettes compared to other generations. As a matter of fact, they smoke the least amount of cigarettes in 120 years. A full 92% of them believe that you don't even need to drink or smoke to be cool. Two more areas that I think are unique. This generation values things very differently than previous ones, and they are less materialistic. When asked what are the top areas of life that make them happy, 12% of them indicated new stuff, like clothes. Way different than my generation. Man, if I could get a new pair of 501s and a body glove t-shirt, I was in heaven. But the two areas they rank highest for sources of happiness are spending time with friends, and the highest is spending time with family. Yeah, family. And they prefer to have shared life experiences with their friends and family, like travel, concerts, and performances. This generation also has access to more music than any other before them. With streaming services and YouTube, they can listen to anything at any time and they don't have to go far to do it. There are no deterring factors like getting a ride to the store or the store closing before you get there or them being sold out of something. They identify with the artists and they support them on multiple medias, YouTube, streaming services, and now they're buying vinyl. But anyways, here's the last unique quality of this generation, and it may just make them the best generation yet. They're inclusive. They grow up with so much information and access to information, knowledge, and entertainment that for the first time in a very long time, traditional stereotypes are being broken and overcome. This generation is an advocate for all. They are empathetic, understanding, and caring. They articulate strong views on things like human rights, the environment, and equal treatment. They are quick to indicate that they even see themselves as more accepting of others and willing to confront situations that are not in alignment with what they value. In one survey, 82% of the 12 to 24-year-olds stated that they felt it was important to help others in their community, and 63% indicated that they will get involved. Heck, their generation, they've already had members of their generation on the world stage. Malala Yousafzai, who won the Nobel Peace Prize. Greta Thunberg, the environmental advocate, and Emma Gonzalez, a gun control advocate who survived the Parkland shooting. They have struggles just like every other generation, but they're young right now. But in the end, this group's going to be different, and I can prove it. So now that you have the background on Generation Z, let me tell you why I am smiling as I record the podcast, and why I was smiling yesterday morning when I was walking thinking about this podcast. So, there I was, at CISA 6 with 70 young men and women in the room with me. They were from 5 different high schools. They were mixed demographics, race, ethnicity. They were from rural and suburban districts, wealthy and poor kids, gay and straight kids, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. They were athletes and club members, kids who took career-based courses, and kids who took college-based courses. They were short and tall, serious and funny, especially Sam from Hortonville. I'm never going to forget that kid. But most of all, they were real Generation Z kids, and they impressed upon me that they are a great generation. And it all stemmed from how they answered the questions that I talked about at the very beginning of this podcast. The first two questions. Here's the first. What do you admire most in others? Here is the exact list produced by them and written up on the board, and it was agreed upon by the 70 kids in the room. We admire honesty, selflessness, bringing people together, energy, integrity, passion, team players, patience, understanding, mood makers, people who bring a good mood to us, confidence, reliability, decisiveness, open-mindedness, willing to listen, speaking your mind, people with self-confidence, growth-mindsetted people, compassion, people with a moral compass, people who work hard, and people who are loyal. Did you hear that list of qualities? That is what they want from their friends, their family, their teachers, their leaders, and most importantly, from each other. That's Generation Z. Those are high school kids. Their list lines up perfectly with the research about them internationally. Here we were in the middle of Wisconsin, USA, and this group of Gen Zers creates a list of qualities that a room full of sociologists might create at a university. Here we were in a room that stereotypically has kids who won't even contribute, and here they are clearly identifying the greatest qualities of other people and leaders. Now, they understood that a leader is anyone with influence, and they learned about Buffalo leaders. They looked at me when I explained that concept to them, and they were like, yep. We don't give enough credit to those we've created and cared for. Here is the smartest generation ever right in front of us every day. Here is the most well-informed generation, the frugalist, and the most inclusive, and we discredit them because they're kids. And yet they know what it is that they need to look for in others, and they know what they need to be. It's just energizing to me. Now, I'm never surprised by what kids say. I've been an educator way too long and have had some very amazing things said to and at me. But I'm not easily impressed either as a result of being a lifetime educator. But now after spending 6 hours with this cross-section of Gen Zers talking about leadership and the qualities that we admire in others, I'm impressed. I'm encouraged. And clearly, I'm energized. Here's the last thing I want to share. This list of people they admire. Now, many of us on the outside would think that if you asked a group of kids who they admired, they'd say things like, well, basketball players, football players, athletes, music stars, or the Kardashians. But listen to this list. Family, parents, coaches, teachers, people who have less than us, our peers, people that are younger than us, veterans, scientists, siblings, grandparents, Ellen, and resilient kids. Ellen was on the list, and I asked why, and they said, well, she promotes happiness and equality and all the rest. Well, the rest of the list just warmed my heart. Some of the greatest titles of all time. Parents, teachers, coaches, grandparents, veterans, peers, they get it. They don't admire rule breakers and rebels. They don't admire celebrities. They admire real people, people close to them, people close in their lives that are leading them in their daily actions. Generation Z is amazing, and they're older in their development than we give them credit for. In the very near future, they'll be running our schools, businesses, and government, and I can't wait. They're compassionate, they're wise, they're caring, they're accepting, they're unique, and they're kind. They care about each other, they care about us, they care about me, they care about the future. So this week, when you interact with a Gen Zer, step back for a moment and truly reflect upon what that young man or woman is bringing to the table, how much smarter they are than us, and especially when we were them, and how much they can contribute to our future. Buffalo leaders, they charge into the storm in order to take on the problems with optimism. Those little inexperienced buffaloes are the ones in the herd that we generally overprotect them. We keep them safe from trouble, and we try to shepherd them to safety all the time. Well, here's my advice. Here's my advice for those around the newest in the herd. Let them lead quicker. They're resourceful. Let them guide us. They're smarter. And let them model for us how to be better. Better at being leaders. So let's do some smart thinking. Knowing what you now know, what will you do different in order to support the Gen Zers in your life? Describe the differences between you and the Gen Zers. List the qualities of a Gen Zer. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please make certain to share this episode on your social media platform and rate it on that platform. Thank you to the Wellpennies for their great music, and today we're going to hear a song that was recorded at the Wellpenny Studio and mixed and produced by them by the band Deer. D-E-A-R. As we close out this episode, I want to challenge you to look at those around you in a different way. I believe in my heart that kids have not changed dramatically developmentally over the course of my career in education. What's changed is the conditions in which they live, learn, and love. This episode was to get you thinking optimistically about the future and honor the contributions of the current generation in our schools and our community. Remember that the only way to change someone else's behavior is to first change your own. Accelerate the success of the upcoming generation by accepting them the way they accept each other. Increase access to leadership for this generation by empowering them with the responsibilities that match their wits and intellect. We control our future. We control our happiness. and we control how we choose to support those around us. As you move forward in your week, consider the knowledge that we learned together here and find ways to bring kids to the next level. As a matter of fact, have them listen to this so they understand how much they can contribute. Each of us controls our environment, and if we are blessed with the opportunity to support our own children or those of others, we carry a heavy burden, and that is that we are responsible for the success of not just our legacy, but the legacy moving forward. And we can do that by quickly allowing the generation that's in front of us to be their best. Starting today, let's accept the fact that we are bearing witness to what may be the modern time's greatest generation, Generation Z.
You can call me in the morning. Maybe take a walk downtown. Cry along to the sad songs you know so well. You look better in the morning. Evenings have been your personal hell. If I could cancel all the Sunday nights, I'd do it now. Stepping over now. Something has to change. Get a handle on my brain. Grab a rope and turn around.